So this morning, in the first session, I wish to look in Matthew
22,
verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited. To the wedding feast. But they were unwilling to come. Again he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fattened livestock, they are all butchered and they are ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention. They went their own way. One to his farm, one to his business. The rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and even killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers. And he set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets, and they gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look over his dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. And the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot. Throw him out into the darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Amen. This parable is a picture of the kingdom of God. And specifically what is going to happen when that kingdom is established at the return of Jesus Christ. It pictures the call of the gospel as an invitation to the wedding feast. So we have the king who makes the wedding for his son. Who is the king?
Come on,
who makes a wedding feast for his son, who is the king. God the Father, correct. Who is the Son? Jesus. And who are the slaves?
Us.
We are the people to bring his good news to the lost. The king is making a wedding feast for his son. The Bible calls this the marriage supper of the Lamb. The time when Jesus Christ comes down from heaven and takes his bride, the church, to himself. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is coming to be married to his church. To be joined as a man joins with his wife. And the king sends out his slaves and invites the people to the great event. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast to receive a king's invitation is a great honor. Especially to something as important as the marriage of the king's son. If we receive such an invitation, we must answer immediately. Preparations must be made. What time is the wedding feast? What should I wear? The details would presumably be on the invitation. But none of that happens. Instead, the scripture says they were unwilling to come. Jesus was speaking about the response he would get from his own people, the Jews. The Jews were God's covenant people originally. Jesus came to that which were his own, the Jews. But his own did not receive him. The early apostles were always sent out to the Jewish people first. Because God's covenant was with the Jewish people back in those days. But his people rejected him. They paid no attention. They seized his slaves and mistreated them. Was there not a prophet you did not persecute, said Stephen. I find it interesting today some people say, I'm a prophet of the Lord. Well, all the prophets in the Old Testament were beaten or killed. Do you really want to be a prophet of the Lord? Because it's likely you're going to be beaten or killed. But the Jewish people rejected their Messiah. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 to 16. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again, by his messengers, the prophets, because he had compassion on his people. But they continually mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. They scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of God rose up against his people, until there was no remedy. Our God is patient, but he is also just. And if we continue to provoke him, we will eventually experience his judgment. Because he is a God who will not be mocked. The Bible says the king was enraged. He sent his armies and destroyed those murderers. And set their city on fire. 40 years after Jesus died, the Roman army came against Jerusalem. They surrounded the city. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that her desolation is near. Flee to the mountains. The early church, when they saw the Roman army surrounding the city, they understood Jesus' warning to them. And they left the city, fled to the mountains. But everyone else who was left were butchered and killed by the Romans. Over 1 million people were killed. The whole upper city, upper realm of the city was caught on fire. The glorious temple that the disciples says, wow, what a great temple. It was burned with fire. And the gold that was upon the walls of the temple, in the intense heat, it melted and dripped into the brickwork. So for years later, people would go and remove stone upon stone. To get the gold that had run in between the brickwork. Jesus said, this temple you see, not one stone will be left upon another. It will all be torn down. It was a brutal time. But the Bible says God sent his armies to destroy those murderers. Romans 11:22. Behold then the kindness and the severity of God. To those who fell, the Jewish people, severity. To those who fell, severity. He acted severely towards his Jewish people. But to you, God's kindness. if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. Because the Jews rejected Jesus, they refused the invitation of the great king. God acted severely against his people. The Jews fell before the judgment of God. But because of that, grace was then given to the Gentiles. And the grace of God was given to you and to me, the Gentiles. We received the invitation to the wedding feast. But God says, if you continue in his kindness, if we have received God's kindness, we are indebted to walk in it. Because if we reject the wedding invitation like the Jews did, God will treat us in the same way he treated the Jews. Amen.
Amen.
He said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways. The main highways is representative of the Gentile nations. If the Jews reject me, go to the Gentiles. And God's grace and his invitation to the wedding feast came to the Gentiles. And you and I are the fruit of that movement. Amen. God is extending his invitation to us. As many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. That's what we're doing today. We are sending out missionaries, doing crusades to reach people. You have received a wedding invitation to the king's son's marriage. What is the correct response to that invitation? Many people today say, well, I accept you, Jesus. That's like, I accept the invitation. But then they never read the invitation. They never read how they are supposed to be dressed for the invitation. They seem to accept the invitation, but they never prepare themselves for the wedding feast. Is it good enough to accept the invitation, but not get yourself ready for the wedding feast? Is that good enough?
No.
The king expects us to get ready for the wedding feast. What is the wedding invitation? This is your wedding invitation. The Bible. This is your personal invitation to God's wedding feast. Who has an invitation here this morning? Amen. You have the wedding invitation. It tells you everything you need to know to prepare. It tells you everything you need to know so you will be ready for that day. Because Jesus is coming for his bride. He is coming to be married to his bride. The bride of Christ is the church. You and I. If we are to be the bride of Christ, how must we prepare for that great day? In Romans 13 and verse 14, Paul says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So we are supposed to be clothed in spiritual garments. We should not attend the wedding feast naked or without wedding clothes. We are to be clothed in the correct garments. Clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Clothed with his qualities. With clothed with his love, his joy, his peace. His kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness. His gentleness, his self-control. But how about a person who accepts the wedding invitation but does not get dressed in the correct manner? Would such a person be responding in the correct manner? They would not. This is like the person who says, I accept you into my heart, Jesus. I hope to go to heaven one day. They are in church. They say amen every now and again. But inside, they're still the same person. They never change. They never try to walk by the Spirit. They never put their flesh to death. They walk as however they please. And they come to the wedding feast expecting to be received into the wedding feast. But instead they are in for a shock. They are not dressed correctly. So the Lord has them thrown out. In the context of the parable, the correct response to the invitation is to accept Jesus' invitation and to make sure we are dressed in the proper wedding clothes. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, Jesus said, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door when he comes and knocks. Being spiritually alert at all times. Spiritually dressed and ready and waiting for our master. Not forgetting about him and living life however we like. And certainly not being caught out sleeping in bed. The master told his slaves, go therefore to the main highway. As many as you find there, invite. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And the slaves went out and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. So not just the good. Evil and good. Over the past 2,000 years, God's servants have been going out into all the nations, bringing the invitation to the wedding feast to God, to people. You and I have heard this wedding invitation. And in many crusades, people hear the invitation, they respond. But how many of those who respond to the invitation actually go on to read the invitation and do what it tells them to do? How many of them actually prepare themselves for that wedding feast? Not so many. Jesus says they gathered together both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. There are many people today who accept Jesus. They consider themselves to be born again. But they don't take the time to read the wedding invitation. They don't prepare themselves to be dressed in the correct garments. But when all the guests are gathered into the barn, the wedding hall, that's when the king is going to look over his dinner guests. And he will make a separation between those who prepared themselves and those who did not. We see the same principle in the parable of the wheat and the tares. The wheat represents the children of the kingdom. The tares represent the sons of the evil one. But they're all planted in the same place together. They're all mixed together, and it's difficult to see. Difficult to know who is who. But Jesus knows those who are his. And he will separate the wheat from the tares at his coming. We also see the same principle in the parable of the dragnet. The parable of the dragnet. The kingdom of heaven is compared to a dragnet that is let down into the waters. The waters represent the nations of this world. The seas represent the nations of the world. The earth represents the Jewish nation. And the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net put down into the waters. It gathers fish of every kind. Jesus said to his disciples, I will make you fishers of men. Whilst the net is still in the water, it contains both good fish and bad fish. And they all still are together, swimming together. Like in churches today, there is true believers and false believers. But they all look the same from the outside. No one often knows who is a true believer, who is false. But Jesus says one day the angels are going to come and they will pull that net out of the waters. That is the return of Christ. When he gathers his flock, his fish, gathers his harvest in. And what do the angels do then? Do they just take all those fish? No, they separate them. The good fish they put in containers, but the bad fish they throw away. Matthew 13, verses 49 to 50. The angels will go forth, and they will take out the wicked from among the righteous. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus returns, he's not coming just to take us all up into heaven immediately. No, he's coming to judge his people. And he will make a separation in every church between the good fish and the bad fish, between the wheat and the tares, between the guests who prepared themselves with the wedding clothes and the evil person who did not get ready. A separation is coming in God's house. And it will occur at the judgment seat of Christ. The parable of the wedding feast pictures this great event as the king coming into his wedding hall to look over or to inspect his guests. The king came in to look over his guests, and he saw a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here with no wedding garments? And the man was speechless. One day the King of Kings himself will look over us, and we must give account for our lives. How happy we will be on that day if we have taken the time to read in his wedding invitation and got ourselves dressed in the correct garment. What a glorious day that will be. But how can we get dressed in the right garments? It is normal for us to be dressed. It is not normal to be naked in front of people. God designed us like this to teach us the importance of being dressed spiritually. If you know that it is wrong to be naked, you should realize that it's even more important not to be naked spiritually. Amen. The Bible speaks about the church, that she is the bride of Christ, and pictures the church dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Revelation 19, verse 7 to 8. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. A bride is supposed to be dressed in fine clothes, white, bright, and clean. Jesus is coming for a pure bride. Not one who has spotted her garments by walking in unrepentant sin. Of course, we all sin on occasion. But do we then repent of our sins? Turn away from them, forsake them. When we forsake and repent of our sins, we are washing our spiritual garments so that they remain fine, bright, and clean. But if we do not repent, if we do not walk away from our sins, those spots and garments will remain, and they will testify against us at His coming. Ephesians 5, verse 27. That He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that she will be holy and blameless. Christ wants to come back for a pure church. He wants to be married to a pure bride. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. Man is the glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. If we are the bride of Christ, are we the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ? Are we living our lives to His glory? Because when He returns, He wants to come for a bride who is glorious, to a bride who is His glory, to a bride who has prepared herself, is dressed in white garments, bright and clean. He wants to present His bride perfect to Himself. On my wedding day, I remember seeing my bride dressed in white. She was dressed in a beautiful white dress because it represented her purity. And she had got herself ready for me, her bridegroom. And when I saw her, I had a big smile on my face. Because she had got herself ready. She wasn't standing there half dressed. Saying, oh, is it the wedding day? I forgot. Oh, I'm still in bed, actually, sorry. Let me just get up and have a shower. Oh, I need to fix my hair. Oh, where's my dress? I've got nothing to wear. Would I have had a smile on my face? My bride had got herself ready. She was dressed in a beautiful white dress. She was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. Amen. Jesus is coming for his bride. You are his bride. How will he find you? Will he find you sleeping in bed? Unprepared? Without wedding garments? Say, oh Lord, I didn't realize it was... Is it the wedding today? I forgot. Is Jesus coming for such a bride? Do you think Jesus is going to say, don't worry, I'll give you another half hour, mate? Obviously you didn't particularly respect me, but I'll give you more time. Will Jesus do that? Now he's coming for a pure bride. And if the bride has made herself ready, Jesus will have a big smile on his face. But if she has not got ready, do you think Jesus will be happy? Do you think he wants to be married to a bride who could not prepare herself? A bride maybe that has a wedding dress on but is spotted and dirty. He's coming for a bride who has made herself ready. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that the bride was dressed in linen, fine linen, bright white and clean. And the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Every time you do a righteous act in God's name, you are clothing yourself with the correct garments. Amen. Every time you shun evil and decide to look away from evil, you are clothing yourself with righteous acts. Every time you restrain your tongue from speaking evil, you are clothing yourself with righteous acts. Every time you show kindness to somebody, you are clothing yourself with righteous acts. Every time you respect others before yourself, you are... Every time you lay down your life for the sake of others, you are clothing yourself with righteous acts. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus returns, will you be clothed in the right garments? Jesus said in John 9 verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night time comes when no man can work. We are living in the day of salvation. At any moment we can receive Christ and receive his grace. Jesus says night time is coming when no man can work. This refers to the time of the end, the great tribulation when the Antichrist is revealed. And God's people will be given over to his hands. And it will be a great tribulation. But Jesus says, whilst we are still in the day, we must work his works. Our works we do in our own strength are like filthy rags before God. They will all be burnt up at the judgment seat. But anything that we do which is God's work, something that is to his glory, those righteous acts will clothe us on that day. Amen. In Matthew 25 and verse 37, the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the sheep replied to their master, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And Jesus said to them, inasmuch as you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. Jesus is watching how we act towards our brothers and sisters in the church. The Bible says, do good to all men, but especially the household of faith. Jesus takes it very seriously when we mistreat brothers and sisters in the church. Because if you can't love your brother in the church, how can you say you love God? That's why we feed the hungry, we give drink to the thirsty. We need to be taking advantage of opportunities to be a blessing to others. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. That means our labor that which is initiated by God and is to God's glory. God calls us to do His works. God wishes to do good works through us. Your toil in the Lord is not in vain. Because every good work you do in the Lord will clothe you with garments of salvation. The white linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 to 3, Paul says, "Indeed, in this house we groan." Longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Insomuch as when we have put it on, we will not be found naked. The house that Paul is talking about is our physical body. Sometimes the scripture calls it a tent, sometimes a house. This physical body in which you live is like the house that you live in. But as long as you are in this fleshy tent or house, we are covered. Our soul is covered. A soul needs to be covered. Needs to be clothed. Whilst we are alive on this earth, our soul is temporarily covered by our fleshy body. Our fleshy body is the tent or the house in which our soul dwells. When we die, our soul steps out of our tent. And who we really are is then exposed before everyone. Our soul is then exposed before a righteous God. For a sinful soul, this will result in an extreme sense of shame. That they will seek to flee from. Genesis 3 verse 10. Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden." And I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself. When people die in sin, their soul is left naked and dirty before God. They are exposed as unrighteous before everyone. And this is how they will remain until the judgment. But it will be different for the righteous. In the book of Revelation 6 and verse 11, it talks about the souls under the altar in heaven. These souls are not left naked. It says in Revelation 6:11, There was given to them a white robe for them to wear. And they should rest a little while longer. Waiting for the judgment, waiting for the resurrection. The righteous who die in Christ will not be left as naked souls before God. It seems they will be clothed with white robes. Not quite their resurrection bodies, but still they will be clothed temporarily in white robes to show that they died faithful to Christ. And that is how they shall be till the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. Sleep means death. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. That is the resurrection of the dead, and what is called the rapture of the church, when we will then be changed from having just white robes to be clothed with our resurrection body, a spiritual body, a body that is immortal, that can never die, our resurrection body. But some people will have better resurrection bodies than others. At the resurrection, this is the time when we are clothed with our righteous acts. And the one who has more righteous acts, their garments will be more glorious. Their resurrection body will be more glorious than others. 1 Corinthians 15:41-42. The Bible says, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection from the dead. If you go out at night and look up to the stars, you look up into the heavens, you will see millions of stars, but some of them are very faint and small. That will be like the believers who did not do much in this life. They were saved, but they didn't do that much for Christ. They will be like the stars that are very faint in the night sky, quite small and insignificant. But then there are the greater lights, the stars which appear brighter in the night sky. They look much more impressive than the small stars. These will be like the people who devote themselves to God's work. The ones who are bound in working for the Lord. Who make sure they are doing righteous acts before God. The ones who live their lives to the glory of God. These sort of people will be like the great stars. With a greater and more glorious resurrection body. Star differs from star in glory. God designed the stars in the heavens to teach you and I what the resurrection of the dead will look like. Amen.
Amen.
At the resurrection of the righteous, we will be given different resurrection bodies. In the book of Hebrews 11, I can't remember the exact verse. But it's talking about the Old Testament saints. And it says some of them were tortured so they suffered for the faith and they refused to be released that they might gain a better resurrection. When we are persecuted for the gospel, we are gaining for ourselves a better resurrection. Jesus said, those who hate you and persecute you, no, he said, blessed are you if you are hated and persecuted for me and my words. Jump for joy in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. Remember when the apostles were beaten before the Sanhedrin? Did they go home complaining to each other? Oh, look, we're trying to do the right thing and we just got beaten for it. Did they complain? No. They rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to suffer disgrace for Christ's name. Because they knew by what they went through, they would have a better resurrection. What resurrection will we have? What trials and tribulations have we been through? Have we ever suffered for the faith? Have we ever been abused for the cause of Christ? Have we ever been cast out for the name of Christ? Revelation 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them. What will follow you and I into eternity? Will our good deeds follow us into eternity? When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Will our good deeds follow us and clothe us in fine garments? Or will we find ourselves just about covered, but only just? With little or nothing to show for the life we live. Will we just about squeeze through the door and spend eternity as like one of those faint stars? That most people ignore. Because we wasted our life in futile living. Or will we find ourselves naked before the throne? With no wedding clothes. Speechless before our Master. Revelation 16 verse 15. Jesus says, "Behold, I come like a thief." Blessed is the man who stays awake and who keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk around naked and men will not see his shame. Will we be naked at the judgment seat of Christ? Will we be embarrassed that everyone is seeing us because we have no clothes? Speechless before the King. Or will we be dressed in fine linen, bright and clean? Or will we be dressed but have stains on our garments? Stains of sin we refuse to repent from. Jesus is coming for a bride which has no spot. A bride that is holy and blameless. Because she has clothed herself with Jesus Christ. She has abided in Jesus Christ. She has walked with Christ. And she has walked in the light and not in the darkness. Brothers and sisters, let us resolve to live our lives to the glory of God, to walk clean before a holy God, to give no opportunity to the flesh. Let us resolve to work His works, to be rich in good deeds, so that we are clothed well at His judgment seat. The God of the universe has personally invited you and I to His wedding. Let's make sure we read His invitation. Read His word. And let us be dressed in the wedding garments, ready for that great day. Revelation 19, verses 7-9. Let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then He said to me, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Brothers and sisters, you are blessed. You have received an invitation from the King of Kings to the wedding feast of the Lamb. May we get ready for that day. May we prepare ourselves and be dressed correctly. May we read his invitation and prepare ourselves for the wedding feast. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We thank you for considering us, for giving us your wedding invitation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for considering us because we were outside of your covenant. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us near in Jesus Christ. And you have sent your wedding invitation to us. Help us to understand it. Give us the resolve to be ready for that day. Help us to know how to walk in your works. To work your works whilst it is still day. Help us to clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, so that we do not appear before you naked on that day, but that our resurrection will be a greater resurrection, that we might glorify you as a bride glorifies her bridegroom. May we be ready for that day. By your grace and according to your power. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's give my hand up to the Lord my God for his presence. Thank you so much for our pastor for the wonderful preaching. Thank you so much, Pastor.